Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In this broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on John 14, verses 1 through 3. Don't be troubled, believe in Christ. This message was originally preached at the beginning of the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus in the United States. But its timeless message is a call to trust in Jesus Christ, both in who he is in himself and what he is doing. As Dr. Beakey said in the first part, Christ's provision and his protection. Now as he continues, he will speak of the plenty that there is in Christ, preparation in Christ, and Christ's prayer. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear.
And then third, there's comfort here because it's a house of plenty. Plenty. There's plenty of room in your Father's house. Not only for all provisions will be met, but there's plenty of room. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Peter, you don't need to worry. John, James, you don't need to worry. There's plenty of room. Now, this is all the more meaningful because in ancient Near Eastern homes, their dwelling places or mansions, if you'll call them, doesn't mean they're big, rich, expensive things. That word mansions is translated not quite the way we take it up often as something very expensive, no. But a mansion was a home which, if you then got married and you had a spouse, of course, you then come and live by the addition of another room. They build another room onto the home. So the house got bigger and bigger. Whenever another child would get married, well, they'd build on another room. There's still groups in the world today, certain cultures that do that kind of thing. And so they get a very, very big house. Or else they get a smaller house and then keep on building on rooms for the family. And that's the meaning here when it's said of Jesus, there is room and enough and to spare in the Father's house in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus gaining new disciples, he keeps expanding the mansion. Mansion in terms of size, no doubt in terms of beauty, in a certain sense. But the real meaning here is there's always room. There's plenty of space for every sinner who comes to Jesus Christ. And there's plenty of merit, plenty of efficacy in his blood. Luther said, one drop of his blood is sufficient to save 1,000 worlds. There's always plenty in Jesus, because everything he does is infinite. His satisfaction for our sins is infinite. His obedience to the law is infinite, because he's also God. So let not your heart be troubled. There's protection, there's provision, there's plenty. And then there's preparation. I go to prepare a place for you. I will prepare you as a prepared people for a prepared place. And I prepare you by showing you your need for atonement. Your need as a sinner. And for showing you my blood. Actually, it's good news, disciples. You think it's bad news that I'm going to leave you. I'm going to die. But I'm really going to die. And I will be raised up in 3 days. I'm going to die so I can go to heaven and prepare a place for you. It's good news and not bad news. Wouldn't it be amazing if God would use this coronavirus for good news rather than bad news? Wouldn't it be amazing that if the gospel would be spread through the world, if mankind would realize more than ever before that we cannot make ends meet in life without God and without Jesus? I mean, God could do wonderful things. He's done that in the past. He's brought revival. At the same time, he's brought plagues in the past. He can do it again. We got to pray for that. You know, My wife and I have gone a couple times to a place called Jungfraujoch in Switzerland, where you go up on a cogwheel train to the highest mountain point in all of Europe, and you look out and you can see mountain ranges, 10, 15 mountain ranges in all directions. It's just amazing, the beauty of that place is overwhelming. What a glorious view. Well, you see, the glorious view of heaven begins at the cross, begins by encamping your soul at the cross. There you see heaven in all of its glory by anticipation. What Jesus does to prepare you for the Father's house. What a beautiful view you get from Calvary. But from Calvary, we go to the Father's right hand. And we know that Jesus says, go tell my brethren, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God, to prepare a place for you and to bring many sons to glory, suffering sons to glory. Through me, the captain of your salvation, who has been made perfect through suffering. Isn't that comforting? He prepares a place through preparing a people, drawing them to the cross, getting them to find their life in him. And then he himself goes to heaven and makes continual intercession for us, so that never, never for one moment are we unprayed for in heaven's courts when we're true believers. That is phenomenal. Why should your heart be troubled when Jesus is praying for you right now and his prayers are always answered? Every tick of the clock. He ever, ever, ever lives to make intercession for us. No need to be troubled. Yes, be concerned. Yes, pray for the cure of the coronavirus and for revival. But Jesus is on the throne of heaven interceding for you and for all his people. And he's in control. He has everything in his hands. He does it all for you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's personal. It's intimate. Jesus never steps off his throne in heaven and never says, I'm tired. I need to take a break. He never sleeps. He's never weary. He's never sick. He's always preparing a place for you, always guiding every detail of your life for that place. So let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Christ. Believe in Christ himself. Believe in what Christ is doing. And then thirdly, believe that Christ is bringing you home. Bringing you home. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, verse 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, in a very real sense, Jesus comes again for us at our death, doesn't he? When we die, he comes again. He sends his angels to fetch us home, as it were. So that, like Stephen, Christ is standing ready in heaven to receive him. Well, if that's true, if he's coming, why be troubled? You know, the worst thing that can happen to us, we think here, if we're believers, is that we would die. But the worst thing is actually the best thing. Death is the best thing. Death is the introduction to everlasting glory. Yes, of course, we have ties to this world. We have ties to life. We want to see our grandchildren grow up. We want to, you know, we want so many things. But ultimately, death ushers us in. As one old Scottish divine said, death is my wheelchair that rolls me in from the troubles of this life into the presence of the Lord of glory, where wheelchairs are needed no more, where everything is peace and joy, where all good is walled in the beloved. Why should we be troubled when death will just bring us to glory? But secondly, and more profoundly, Jesus will come again. Not at, just at the time of our death, but his literal coming again will be at the time of our resurrection. Our resurrection. And we will be, he's the firstborn among many brethren who was resurrected, but he will resurrect us and he will bring our soul and our body together so that we will praise him forever in the eternal home of heaven. In the full man, a total full man, praising a full Christ, and will be full of holiness and no more sin. Can you imagine that? No more viruses. No more weaknesses. No more rumors of viruses. No more fears. We have a couple in our church right now who have a niece in the state of Washington where there were several deaths, and the niece was in the hospital because they thought the niece had coronavirus and was in critical condition. I just called them last night. This is the first person I heard of that somehow is related to someone I know that actually has coronavirus. So I was like overwhelmed with it. I said, this is amazing. And then an 11-year-old girl, because it usually doesn't impact children at that age that seriously. But when I called, they said, no, it's not coronavirus. It's just the flu. Just the flu. You know, there's so many things that we worry about that don't happen. But in the resurrection and the life, you see, even all those worries are taken away. I am the resurrection and the life. I will come again. I will receive you to myself, Jesus is saying, that where I am, there you may be also. I want you to be with me forever. What a beautiful thing. It's an hour coming when Jesus Christ, dear believer, will come and take you to be with himself forever. And that's what heaven will be, forever being with Jesus. Samuel Rutherford said, take Jesus out of heaven and it will be the direful land of death for me. Robert Murray McShane beautifully describes heaven this way. Take us to the pearly gates. Take us to the golden pavement. Take us to the harps, to the songs, to the palms, to the angels. And we will still say, where is the God-man who died for me? Oh yes, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Well, this is the cure for those who are troubled. The cure is not in you. The cure is in faith. In Christ himself, faith in what he's doing, and faith in Christ to bring us home. So let me close this sermon by just giving you four quick applications as we close. The first is this. Will you occupy a room in those heavenly mansions? And there was once an old Puritan minister. He often said at the end of his sermons, dear church family, I'm going to heaven. Will you come with me? Will you come with me? Do you know your sinfulness? Something of it? Enough to drive you to Jesus? Have you found him as the way, the truth, and the life? This day, let this coronavirus bring you face to face with your mortality. Cry out for mercy. Bow before the Lord Christ and ask for grace to truly believe in him alone for salvation. The second, remember that to refuse Christ and to set your treasure here on earth is spiritually and eternally disastrous. That's what Judas Iscariot did. And you know he ended up betraying Jesus not only, but committing suicide. He was the most unhappy man there could be. Judas by transgression fell, Acts 1 says, that he might go to his own place. His own place. Jesus says, trust in me by the grace of God. And I will bring you to my place, to my home. Judas went to his own place, the Bible says. Over the grave of everyone who refuses and rejects Christ, you might write this: here lies the dust of one who's gone to his or her own place, which is the place prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't have to go there. You could go to the best place where Jesus is. Give up the battle. Lay down your weapons. Turn to him. Trust in him alone. Confess your sin. Stop going your own way. Your own way, your own place will be the result of your own way. And your own place will be lonely. No friendship in hell. Trust in Christ alone. Believe. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And thirdly, believers are not to be overly troubled about the things of here and now. We're to set our affections on the things in heaven. We're to meditate on heaven. John Owen once said to his church, "Our problem is not so much that we're not doing enough, but that we're not meditating enough." And meditating especially about heaven, about our future. We're so earthbound. That's one thing that the Puritans have really taught me all my life. I wish I could learn it more. They said you always got to have, at all times, one eye on eternity. Always be thinking about eternity. Of the Puritan Richard Sibbes, it was said commonly among the people, heaven was in him before he was in heaven. And so it must be with you and with me. Set your affection on things above. You know, I was once preparing a sermon on that chapter in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about his long list of afflictions. Remember that chapter? Shipwrecked, stoned, all kinds of things. And I was drafting up my 3 points. And my second point I put down, Paul's heavy afflictions. And then I kept studying the chapter, and I read a little bit further, and Paul says, our light affliction, our light affliction is but for a moment, but there's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I thought, isn't that amazing? When you look at it on paper, Paul's afflictions are very heavy, but when Paul looks at it in the light of eternity, they're very light because of the glory that is to come. Don't be overly troubled. Be realistic. Don't minimize the coronavirus, but don't be overly troubled. Remember, you're on your way to eternity, to being with Jesus. And fourthly and lastly, don't be overly fearful of death. Yes, there's something debilitating and ugly and dreadful and painful about death. But Christians are not to have a morbid fear of it. You are to view it as Christ coming to bring you home. That's what it is. It's a homecoming. That's why sometimes when God's people die, they hear music just as they're dying. Or they see things. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? While they're dying, or they sit up at the last moment, or they have a sense that they're on their way. Angels are on their way to take their soul to glory. So when you get to the end of your life and you look back over life, if you're a believer, it won't be as bad as you might fear it will be. Yes, it's still the king of terrors, but Christ will bring you through it. That same Richard Sibbes I was talking about, when he was on his deathbed, he said, is this all there is to death? To usher me in to glory? To be with Jesus? Yes, when you look back one day, you will say, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, surely. There's no place better than my real home, the home of heaven, to be with Jesus forever. To hear his welcome home. Sinner, saved by grace. And then no more will you ever hear that you're a sinner. You'll be a perfect saint forever. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Don't be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in what I'm doing. Believe that I will bring you home. Amen. Great God of heaven, we ask thy blessing upon this short sermon, and we pray that thy kingdom may come in it and through it, and that we would truly, truly believe in thee. Help us, Lord, through faith, to trust in thee and to keep an eye on eternity, and that all the troubles around us, all the surrealness of what is going on in society and in the world with the coronavirus, would just help us the more to focus on the reality, the true reality of Jesus Christ and eternity, to find our comfort in him who is the object, the only object, and the worthy object, and the sufficient object of true saving faith. Lord Jesus, we thank thee so much for thyself and for what thou art doing and for the home thou art preparing for us, the virus-free home, the sin-free home, the glorious home. Hasten the day, come quickly, when this mortality shall put an immortality, and this corruption in corruption, and we will ever be with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."